Father, thou art concerned with our needs. We thank that we can pray to thee for them, all these that have been prayed for with sicknesses, with difficulties of one kind or another. Help us all to look to thee when we need some things, and give us strength to pray and to praise thee and to ask us for patience to undo the things that are difficult for us, and all these sicknesses and other problems that confront us. Especially pray for my wife in a hospital, the nurse, the Aubrey and others, the doctors that are treating her. Bring her back safely tomorrow or the next day. And to guide us and direct us now in our study of thy word today in this book of 2 Corinthians. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Alright, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, what verse is it again?
We're stopped at verse 8,
so start at verse 9. Those who are listening to us, give us a call or comment, 856-261-9018, or questions at bftbc.org. Glad to hear from you. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, let's read verse number 9, 10, and 11 together, starting with verse 9. For if the administration of condemnation be glory, much more does righteousness exceeding glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in that respect, by reason of glory that excelleth. And if that which is done away be glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Alright, verse number 9. If the administration of condemnation, what is that referring to there in the hands of that? Verse number 9. Yeah, Tammy.
Giving of the law.
Giving of the law. The law of Moses was given. They couldn't keep it too well. They couldn't keep it at all. Nobody could keep it perfectly. But it was given. It was glorious when it came. But much more, what else does it say in verse 9? What's the much more referred to in the hands of that? Much more. What is the much more?
Is it a comparison? I mean, if this is this is glorious, then even to a greater extent, this is even more glorious.
Okay. And what does that much more refer to, that glory, that better glory of Tammy?
The giving of righteousness through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Righteousness through the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament, dying for the sins of the world. Then in verse number 10, even that which was glorious have the glory in that respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. Or even that which was made glorious. Now, what glory is it that excelleth versus the glory that was made in the Old Testament? Any hands on that one? Hey, Pastor Dan.
The glory of the cross, the glory of redemption.
Glory of redemption.
Glory of salvation.
Much more glorious than any glory that Moses had. Even though he covered the glory with a veil over his face. Mm-hmm. Questions at bftbc.org, 856-261-9018. Glad to hear from you. Comments or questions, just say hello. And then in verse number 11, if that which was done away, what does that refer to again? To Tammy?
The law.
The law of Moses. Done away. Do some Christians still want to accept the Old Testament law of Moses? Any hands on that?
Yes, John. Some still live by the law of Moses. They don't understand it. Christ replaced that.
Yes.
It's the fulfillment of the law.
That's right. And some that is Tammy.
And trusting in the law, trusting in their own works, and keeping the law, they think they can keep it somehow.
Uh-huh. And there's a comment or a name that is something to do with the law versus grace called the replacement theology. What does that mean? Any hands on that? Tammy wrote that last time. Your job.
Okay, yes. The replacement theology is teaching that the church has replaced Israel.
All right.
And it has not. Israel is still God's chosen people.
Mm-hmm.
You might say they're kind of on the back burner right now while you're dealing with the Gentile world,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they have rejected their Messiah, so he put the message to the Gentiles, so the Gentiles would take it out to the world. But
mm-hmm.
we did not replace Israel at all. There comes a time where you know, he's going to be done dealing with us as a church. Mm-hmm. While the rapture is going to take us home, he's going to be dealing with Israel once again.
Once again. So it's not a sound theology, replacement theology. Right. That's good. Tammy brought that up, I think, last Sunday, too. All right, let's read verse number 12, 13, and 14 together. Seeing that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil unbroken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which saith, is done away in Christ. By verse 12, that which has been for saying that we have such hope. What hope do you think is referred to this in this verse number 12? Any hands on that? Yes, John.
The great hope in the rapture, the return of Christ calls church home.
Yes, well, the Lord calls home. Yes. Yes, yes. Wendy, go right there. Wendy's from Wisconsin.
Pastor, I just wanted to greet you guys and thank you for calling me with Thanksgiving being today. I forgot, so thank you for the gentle reminder, and I am enjoying Bible study. Look. And I greet you.
Praise the Lord, let's wave the one that goes signal started. Rick, okay, that's good. Appreciate that very much for the call. All right, so in verse number 12, we have such hope. Again, what was that hope again? Any hands on that?
In the hope and the return of Jesus Christ calls the church home.
Return. What is the name of that in Titus? And the hands on that? Yeah, Pastor Dan? In Titus. The blessed hope, the rapture, snatching away. Now, how many people are going to be snatched away in that hope? What are the various views of the rapture? Five or six different views. And the hands of that.
There's even more views than that, and most of them are false.
Okay.
There's only one true view.
One true view.
You know, it's going to be those that are truly born-again Christians
Will
be taken home to be with the Lord at that time.
Okay, Pastor Dan, that's the true view.
Some people falsely believe nobody. No rapture.
Partial rapture.
Just
only those that are walking with the Lord.
Certain Christians, partial rapture. Another view. False, right, Tammy?
Mid-tribulation rapture.
What is that?
A mid-tribulation rapture.
That's good. That's a bad view. What's another bad view? Pastor Dan? Or John?
Yeah, the pre-wrath rapture.
Pre-wrath rapture. That's another false view. Mm-hmm. Pastor Dan, I guess we have all of them covered, right?
No, not yet.
Not yet. Tammy?
A post-tribulational
rapture. Post-tribulation rapture. After the tribulation is over. So the blessed hope, all the genuine Christians, whether carnal, fleshly, or spiritual walking, will be taken.
And the real view.
Pre-tribulation rapture of all the genuine believers. Yeah, John?
Yeah, I was going to say one that's maybe a little lesser known, but it became popular a few years ago because some teachings that were wrong, and that was the blood moon rapture.
Okay, tell about that one.
Yeah, I can't really describe it. I haven't read that much about it, but I know about it. But they believe it was based on the blood moon. And the blood moon came, and guess what? We're still here.
We're still there.
With another 500, 5,000, or whatever the sequence is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Until we get them lined up again.
There's one of our people that we knew used that and kept talking about it. In fact, I think Harold Cadman talked about that several times, too.
About the blood bones.
What's that?
I don't think he brought up
the blood. Well, he brought something else up.
I don't think he believed in the rapture.
Well, I'm not sure.
No, he didn't believe it, yes.
I know John Hagee believed in the blood.
Anna?
So, he believed, Campion, since we wanted to discuss that, he believed that the true believers would go through most of the tribulation, but then in May 22nd or whatever it was, the rapture was supposed to happen, and then for 5 months there was supposed to be great tribulation until like October or something.
I think he had two views. Maybe it was David Cloud talking about blood moon. Is that the one?
I
Somebody.
It doesn't sound like David Cloud.
No, David Cloud wasn't a proponent of it.
Well, somebody talked about Brooklyn.
John Hagee.
Yeah, John Hagee. He's not the only one.
What's his first name?
Jonathan Kahn probably was.
Different ones.
Up in North Carolina.
That was wrong, actually. We have this such hope in Christ. And because of that, what does verse 12 say that should be taken place because of that? What should we do, those ignorant Christians? Tammy?
The Apostle Paul is using great plainness of speech when he talks to them.
All right, plainness of speech.
They don't get confused.
Hope, and it's a blessing hope. And now, when could that hope take place?
At any moment.
At any moment. What's that big word for any moment?
Imminent.
Imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Any hope. Then in verse number 13, what is he saying? Not as Moses. What's the difference? Why is not Moses put in there? Pastor Dan?
Moses needed a veil.
Mm-hmm. All right.
The law was limited. Mm-hmm. And other things.
Because why did he put a veil over his face? Why did Moses need a veil in the Old Testament? Now, Pastor Dan first had something from his computer.
Call from Maine.
From
Thank
Maine.
You very much for tonight's Bible study. We are so sorry to hear Mrs. Wade in the hospital. I know that we are keeping our thoughts and prayers. God bless you all and his love, Carl and Vicki.
Let's wave to Carl and Vicki out in the state of Maine. Thank you very much, Carl and Vicki. Appreciate that. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. So, Moses, why did Moses need a veil over his face? Any hands on that? Pastor Dan?
He was so close to God. The glory of God was shining off of his skin.
All right.
And so the people were becoming fearful. Mm-hmm. He saw his face reflecting to a small degree.
Mm-hmm.
The glory of God. And so he took this veil to kind of muffle or mute that glory that was coming off of his face.
What does he do with the veil when he went back to the Lord in the mount?
He removed
the veil, went back in. And what did that, they couldn't steadfastly look to the end that was what? Israel could not steadfastly look to the end where that was his what?
Abolished.
The law of Moses abolished.
Right.
And then in verse number 14, what was true of their minds, Old Testament Jewish minds? Any hands on that? Yes.
They were blinded. They did not see and understand.
All right. Our minds blinded today.
Yes.
Yes. And who is more blinded than some others? And some others are less blinded. Do you have any thoughts on that? Any hands on that? Yes.
Well, we know that the Jews were blinded. It says in Romans chapter 11, I believe,
mm-hmm.
So that the Gentiles might come in.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I would
say the Jews perhaps were more blinded, at least for this time period.
All right. And who is blinded today? Are there some Gentiles today blinded, for example?
Yes.
They are blinded for the gospel. They don't want to listen to it. They don't want to hear it. Their eyes are blinded. Blinded. That was for blinded. Minds. Now, what's the difference between eyes that are blind and minds that were blind? Any hands on that? Tammy?
Well, your eyes are where you get the information to perceive and to understand. Mm-hmm. So you have to first see it, and then you have to process it correctly. So mm-hmm. if you don't see it correctly, then you haven't you are not going to be able to process it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, just because you see it doesn't mean you're going to process it correctly. You
All
might
right.
not mm-hmm. get the information in your mind right, even though mm-hmm. you saw it correctly with your eyes.
And so the mind, which is worse if you had to think about a blinded mind, or blinded eyes?
Blinded mind.
Blinded mind. Now, Paul Costanelli is blind of the eyes, but his mind is not blinded. Yes, he's come to the Lord as Savior and Redeemer. We praise the Lord for him. And so the minds were blinded, that which was abolished. And for until this day, what remains with Israel? Many in Israel. in verse number 14. Yes, Pastor Dan.
There's a veil over their face.
All right.
A different sort.
Okay, different sort, a veil.
They're still blind, they're in the fog as far as what the truth of the glorious gospel is.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I just drowned.
What they see is the law still.
Yeah.
They don't see the as we saw in the verse earlier, it was abolished. They don't see the end of the law, what the culmination is. Mm-hmm. And that was Jesus Christ, the way he did on the cross.
Yeah, what he did on the cross.
It sort of reminds me of the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus.
Yep.
He saw the light, then later the scales fell off from his eyes, so that those things that were blinding him were no longer there.
And so, what is true about the veil today? In that same verse number 14, did John?
We don't have the veil today. We have the blood of Christ that covers us.
Okay.
We have direct access to the Father now.
What is one name of the Lord Jesus that tells us something about blindness and non-blindness? What's one of his titles? Pastor Dan?
Light.
The light of the world. The light of the world. So we don't have to be blind in any way. Did we read 15 yet?
No.
Let's read verse 15, 16, and 17 together. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall be turned to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Okay, those are the words, the verses. Okay. Under this day, under this day, verse 15, Moses is read. By whom, and what's the result when it is read at Anna?
Well, I assume this is talking about, like, when they read it in the synagogue.
All right.
Well, perhaps it's referring to Israel. And so they read Moses, but they don't understand Moses.
All right, that's true. And one of the prophets, especially, they don't read, and especially one chapter, what is that prophetic book, the chapter that over
Isaiah 53.
Isaiah 53. Why do you think they don't read that Isaiah 53, John?
They would have to acknowledge Christ as their Messiah.
Christ the Messiah, very clearly. He just died for their sin and took away the sin of the world.
There's no way you can read that and not see him there if you've read anything in the New Testament.
Right. And so, what is true when they do read the Old Testament, verse 15? Any hands on that? What is true? The Bill.
They usually stay with just the Torah.
All right.
They don't read Chronicles or Samuel or Kings or the Isaiah, Jeremiah, any of the minor prophets. They stay away from that.
All right. In verse 15 of Pastor Dan?
It's not only their eyes blinded, but they're also their heart is blinded.
Yes.
All right, that's true. And what when they read it in verse 15, what does it say is true? When they read, what books did Moses write through God? John?
Well, Genesis, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy.
The first five books. What does happen when they read that? What is true about their minds? Does that happen?
Well, it says the veil is upon their heart.
All right.
So if their heart doesn't believe it, their mind doesn't understand it either.
Mine does not either. That's exactly right. The veil on their heart. What does it say in the New Testament about the heart in Romans, is it 10, 9 and 10? With the heart
man
believeth unto righteousness. And so the heart is important. That faith, not just the head, but the heart, genuine faith, heart belief, and trust in the Lord Jesus. Questions at bftbc.org, 856-261-9018. If it's a comment or call, go to hear from you. Did you read 16 yet?
Yes.
But when it shall turn to the Lord, who's the it do you think refers to? When it shall return, it, Tam?
The heart.
The heart shall turn to the Lord. What's true then about the veil?
It'll be taken away.
And the it probably could also perhaps refer to the group of people called the Israelites, but the heart, the veil must be taken away from the heart. Did we read 17 yet? I forget.
Yes.
We got 17. What is true now? What does it say about the now of when Paul is writing this in verse number 17? What is true now?
Well, he was referring to that very time when he was writing, when he was there. And that, by extension, would apply to our time today as well.
Okay.
We're still in that same time frame.
And what does he refer to when he talks about the now? Any hands on that? Yeah, Pastor Dan.
The age of grace.
The age of grace? What else? In verse number 17. Anna?
It's sort of a conjunction. It doesn't, I don't think it's dependent upon the time. The
All
Lord
right.
being that spirit. It's just saying now, it's just saying, it's sort of a more of a joining in thought.
Mm-hmm. Well, in verse 15 says, even unto this day, and nevertheless in verse 16, but now, what is true now in verse 17?
It's always true, is it not?
What is always true?
The Lord is a spirit.
All right.
But it's was true at creation time and before. Eternity past, eternity present.
It's more.
And what is true when the Lord is there, the Spirit of the Lord is there, in verse number 17?
There's liberty.
There's liberty, freedom, and understanding of things. Did they read 18 yet?
Not yet.
No.
Let's read verse 18 together. Now we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Who's the we referred to, do you think? Any hands on that? Who's the we referred to? Tammy?
Well, the Apostle Paul is writing this, so he would be he and those with him, and the church in Corinth, and by extension, all born-again Christians.
By extension, all born-again, genuine Christians. With open face, what is the contrast there, do you think? With open face, any hands on that? What's the contrast at that time?
As opposed to with a veil.
With a veil. Mm-hmm. There's no need for veil.
Right.
Open face. What do we see with an open face? What is true in that verse 18? Yeah, John?
The glory of the Lord.
The glory, though. Where is the glory found? Where's the glory of the Lord found? What is, Pastor Dan, he's holding up his Bible, found in the Bible itself. Mm-hmm. And we don't need any veil over our face to refer to the glory of the Bible. Now, those of us who follow and read the Bible many times have a glory about us, happiness, joy, fulfillment, grace, but open face. As in a glass, what does that glass refer to? What is the definition of a glass in this case? Any hands on that?
Yeah, John? A mirror.
Like
you
a mirror.
You see a reflection.
Right? And when you look into a glass, you see a reflection. Now, what's the difference between a clear glass and a veiled or sort of fuzzy glass? Is there a difference?
Oh, yeah.
And what is the difference? John?
Well, the clear, if I'm understanding where you're going correctly, the clear glass, you'll be able to see the reflection of the glory of the Lord in there. Where the fuzzy glass, you would not be able to see His glory. It'd be like having a veil over your head.
That's right. That's the most clearer. If it's not, just like you see your face, if it's real dark and darker.
Right.
But it's important to see that we have a clear, is it a glass, that we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, what is true when I see in the... Where is that glass, you think? Starting there, where is that glass that we can behold? Any hands on that? That has got a Bible up in the Scripture. The Scripture is that glass. We can behold in that glass, open face. What's the open face about it, you think? Any hands on that? With open face. Pastor Dan, then Anna.
Face without a veil.
Without a veil, Anna?
Yeah.
Tammy?
it reminds me of the passage in James 1 about the let's see, verse 1:23. If any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed.
So when you see something that's wrong, as you look in a mirror, like a dirty face or hair messed up, whatever, and you don't change anything about it, is that a good idea or a bad idea? Has the glass, has mirror helped you or not helped you? Just seeing but not doing, it doesn't help. You got to straighten out what's there. So we get the Word of God. It's like a glass. Mm-hmm. If we don't follow what the Word says, it's foolish to look at. I mean, not foolish, but it's it doesn't do us any good. Just to see, but not do. So we've got to say, beholding as a glass, the open face, the glory of the Lord. What is true if we follow what we find in the Scripture? In verse number 18. Tammy?
The word changed into the likeness of the Lord's
changed
glory.
Changed to the likeness of the Lord's glory. Same image from glory to glory. By whom are we changed if we're genuine Christians?
By whom? The Spirit of the Lord.
By the Spirit, Spirit of the Lord. The Holy Spirit of God can change us, conform us into His image and likeness. And that's the power of walking with the Spirit and being controlled by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. How many people in this world have the Holy Spirit indwelling them?
Not enough.
Tammy?
All born again Christians.
Genuine Christians, true Christians, have the Holy Spirit indwelling them. Now, do they necessarily feel the Holy Spirit indwelling them? No. Why do they know that that is true? The answer is that. Why are they certain that is true for genuine Christians? The hands on that? Even though they can't necessarily feel the Spirit of joy.
Well, the Holy Spirit can convict us.
Okay.
How else? Romans 8. All right. The Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are the Son of God.
We've got to know because the Scripture tells us if we're genuine Christians. It says in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, know ye not that your body is the what?
Temple
of the Holy Spirit, which you have in you, which you have. You're not sharing your body with the Christ. It's the Holy Spirit. Our bodies are the temple. Genuine Christians' bodies. Not unbelievers' bodies. And that's something we know, even though we may not be able to feel. I talked to a gentleman recently, many different times. I don't feel this. I say, well, we may not feel certain things, but if God says it in His Word, it's true, whether we feel or not feel. See? Yes?
There's nowhere in God's Word where He told us that we will feel something.
Yes.
You know, that's a false teaching from Pentecostalism.
Yes. There's a difference between feeling and faith. Faith, when God says something, we've got to believe it. And that's true whether we can feel it or not feel it.
Right, Satan's a master deceiver.
Yes.
He knows how to prey on our emotions. And
yes.
We can feel things, and we might think it's of God, and it's not. That's why Scripture tells us we are to test them all to see if they are of God, to try the Spirit.
Now, when it says in verse number 18, from glory to glory, what does that seem to tell us? From glory to glory. Yeah, Tammy?
Is that referring from the law to the cross?
It could be. What else?
Maybe even to the glory of God's presence in heaven.
Okay, it could be.
The rapture and the...
All right, what else?
Resurrection.
What does it say about glory when it says from glory to glory? What does it say about glory? Is all glory the same glory? From glory to glory. Is there a progression in this glory? Is there a progression from glory to glory? Pastor Dan?
Well, just to summarize again, from an earthly glory to a heavenly glory.
That's certainly possible. And also, things of this earth, the things of the scripture, sometimes could be less glorious, but when we understand the whole situation, it's much more glorious. That's a possibility, is it not? That we have an additional appreciation for the glory of the things of the Lord. Yeah, Pastor Dan?
When you're doing comparative glory, I mean, you have the glory of the first temple and the glory of the second temple.
All right.
And the people that knew about the first temple were disappointed. It was far more glorious than the second temple.
All right, that's very good. Any other comments or questions on chapter 3 before we move on to chapter 4? Well, let's read chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4, 1, 2, and 3 together. Therefore, seeing we have that ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not,
but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the glory of God.
But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Now, the therefore, do you think, goes back to what? Any answer to that? What do you think the therefore is there for? What's the conclusion here he's trying to draw? Any answer to that? What's the conclusion of the therefore? Tammy?
Well, it's referring to we had the ministry of the law, or the ministration, or the ministry of the law, the giving of the law, and then the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul and his those that were with him had the ministry of the gospel.
All right.
So it seems like he's referring to the ministry of the gospel that he and those that were with him, and all Christians even have.
Every Christian has a ministry. Not that they're ministers or preachers, but that's a ministry. Each one of us has a special ministry. And the glory, by the Spirit of the Lord, we're changed into the image of the Lord. We have a ministry as we receive mercy. Now, what is mercy? How would you define mercy? Any hands on that? How would you do that? Bill?
Getting something you haven't earned.
Getting something you haven't earned. God's mercy. Pastor Dan?
John? Add to that a little bit. Not receiving something we do deserve.
Okay.
You know, as far as the merciful, God's merciful to us.
Okay.
He's withholding something we deserve, we with judgment.
All right.
You know.
Withholding judgment, which we do deserve, that's right. And what's the conclusion? Because he does, we have his mercy. What, and who does the we refer to, by the way, in verse number 1? 4:1, we.
Born-again Christians. True born-again
Christians. In Corinth, also today, as it applies today as well. And what is true, because we have God's mercy, and what should be true? Tammy?
We faint not.
What do you think that means? We faint not.
We don't give up.
We don't give up.
We don't lose hope.
We don't lose hope. Even if we're cast into prison. Did Paul lose hope in Acts 16 when Paul and Silas were cast into prison? Did they lose hope? Did they faint? No. What did they do at midnight? We read that today in our Bible reading. Yes, Tammy?
They prayed and sang.
They prayed. What was the result of their prayers and singing?
The earthquake, and then subsequently the jailer actually came to Christ.
The jailer came to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, Sirs, what?
What must I do to be saved?
What must I do with you to be saved? They told them, believe in the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house if they believe. And so, we faint not. Now, even though we're cast into prison, if that ever happens to us, should we faint? Should genuine Christians faint and just wipe away their testimony?
No.
No, we don't. Now, I noticed today in the reading, that was today's reading, some of the Christians said of Paul, when he said, I'm going back to Jerusalem, they said, well, the Spirit of God told us what? What did they caution about Paul's return to Jerusalem, yesterday or today's reading? Remember that? The hands on that? What did they tell him not to do? Tammy?
That, he shouldn't go back there.
shouldn't go back there. They're looking for it. What was Paul's response to that?
These things do not move me.
What is it?
These things do not move me.
They do not move me, even if what happens?
Even if he's killed.
If them die for the Lord Jesus, I must fulfill the ministry that he gave to us,
yes,
to him. And that was a great thing. Go ahead.
Demonstrated his love for his people.
Love for his people, Israel, and he wanted to lead them to the Lord, and even if he died. Now, he didn't die immediately, he finally did because of his testimony, but what did happen to Paul by going back to Jerusalem? Any hands on that? What did happen to Paul? Tammy?
The Jews captured, well, they wanted to kill him, and then the soldier and the captain of the soldiers rescued him, took him into the castle.
Okay.
And then he stood trial before different governors, and
all
then
right,
eventually went to Rome.
He appealed to Caesar, didn't he? Well, eventually went to Rome.
Master Barbara.
No.
Yes, Barbara Master from Jersey. Go ahead, Barbara.
Hi, Pastor Wade. Hi, everybody. Glad she's checking in to say hi, and just to let you know, I'm praying for Mrs. Wade.
Thank you very much. God bless her. Thank you very much. Oh, let's wave to Barbara Master. If she can't see us, we're waving to Barbara. And thank you for your prayers very much. So, questions at bftbc.org, 856-261-9018. So Paul, though he wasn't slain immediately, he appealed to Rome, and they couldn't get him. What was the charge or the promise that the Pharisees had about Paul and his death? The hands on that.
The vow.
What was the vow?
We're not going to eat until after they had slain him.
We're not going to eat anything until we slay Paul. The question they ask us at Dallas, that's a 71, they go, when did these people take their next meal? Of course, they lied. That vow was a fake, wasn't it?
Right.
But it was a vow. Any other comments on that? Yes, go ahead.
Kind of like the liberals in our country that vowed that if President Trump won the election, they'd move to Canada. They didn't. They lied to us.
They lied to us. They didn't move to Canada, did they? And then in verse number 2, Anna, what did you say?
I'm just trying to figure out why they didn't move to Canada.
They just took a false vow, didn't they? False vow. They were fakers and liars and so on. Well, let's read verse number, let's just look at it. What is true as far as the have done what? And who's the we referred to in verse 1 and 2? We, faint not, and we what?
Received mercy.
What's the first part of that in verse number 2, chapter 2 Corinthians 4, 2?
Oh, 4, 2.
Yes, Tam?
We renounce the hidden things of dishonesty.
What does renounced mean? Renounced.
We've pushed them aside. We're not going to be a part of that.
Push them aside, the hidden things.
Maybe spoken against.
All right. Now, there's a number of things they've renounced. They just don't want anything to do with it. What's the first one, and how would you define it? What's the first thing they've renounced in verse number 2? And what the questions at bftbc.org, 856-261-9018. What's the first thing they've renounced? Tammy?
Dishonesty.
And John, how would you define that?
Dishonesty, it'd be like similar to lying, saying one thing and actually doing another.
All right. And what else? What do they actually renounce in verse number 2? What do they actually renounce in this verse number 2?
Craftiness.
Well, first of all, before that...
Oh, well, you mean hidden things with dishonesty?
Yes, the hidden things.
Hidden things.
Dishonesty.
Right.
Now, why do you say the hidden things? Why do you think they say the hidden things, dishonesty? Are some dishonest things hidden for people?
yes, they're saying they're doing this, and they look like on the surface that they're really doing something else.
They're doing something else, and it's hidden. They're dishonest. They lie about it, but they hide things. Hidden things are walking. How are they walking? What's the walk in verse number 2? And what does that mean? We've renounced the hidden things and not doing what, Tammy?
We're not walking in craftiness.
And how would you define craftiness?
Well, sneakiness. And
all right. Is craftiness open and above board so that all can see it?
No.
No, it's not. It's sort of a hidden, sneaky type of thing. Creepy, crawly, sneaky. Questions at BFTBC.org, 856-261-9018. Not in craftiness. What else do the we, the general Christians, renounce or nothing to do with?
Handling of the Word of God deceitfully.
Now, are the Christians, some genuine Christians, handling today, these days, the Word of God deceitfully? And if so, how? How are they doing that today? Any hands up there?
These false translations.
How is that deceitful to use these false translations instead of the King James in English? How is that a deceitful thing? Any hands on that?
Well, they deny the deity of Christ. We can go down all the fundamentals of faith. Denying those. And they also show, you know, if you read one of them, they're confusing because they'll say one thing in one area and contradict itself in another area, making God's word untrustworthy.
All right.
There's errors in God's word, something there is none.
Those that use these false English, Spanish, French, other German translations, what do they say about practically all of them? What do they say about them? Is Pastor Nat?
They believe they're better.
If not better, it's all the same. What's the difference? Everything's fine. Is that true or false? Are they all the same?
No.
How many differences in the New Testament alone did Dr. Jack Mormon find in his big fat 2-inch book, 8,000? How many of those 8,000 are definite doctrinal passages?
356.
And I don't know how many times I tell in some of my videos about the quotations from Bob Jones University professors. All the same thing. This, no doctrine, nothing. Quotation after quotation after quotation. One or two things are true about these Bob Jones professors who wrote these in their books. One or two things is true? Either one or the other. What's true about them? If they say all the things, no doctrines about you, Bill?
They're liars.
If they're liars, what's another possibility? Yes?
I don't know what they're talking about.
Don't know what they're talking. If they don't know what they're talking about, should they be teachers or students in colleges or universities?
No.
They should either be fired or get out of there. Horrible situations.
And they should be fired if they're lying, too.
They should be fired if they're lying, too. But have these men been fired from these schools?
No.
No, they have not. And I've told you many times before, one of the people, what's his name, came up to me after a talk in South Carolina, Greenville, South Carolina, Bob's University professor, and bought my book, came up to me, defended the KJ's Bible, the book, would you please sign that book? I signed the book. And he's one of the people that says there's no doctrinal division yet. I listed in chapter 3, some 156 out of 356 doctrinal differences. Maybe never read the book, I don't know. So, not having the Word of God deceitfully, but what do they do in verse number 2? But what should be done? Yet, Pastor Dan.
They renounce the hidden things of darkness.
All right, and what else? Manifesting what?
The truth.
The truth. Companioning a man shall to every man's conscience to the sight of God. The truth that gets into the conscience, right straight through the mind of the very conscious people we're speaking to. Very important. I'm going to stop right there in verse number verse 2. But do you have any other comments in this part of chapter 3 or chapter 2 before we close? All right, I want to read a letter on Sunday from Dr. Rebecca Howell and her husband David Howell. Very important thing that she wrote to us concerning small churches. Very important thing that's very, very evident. So I hope you all tune in. I'll read that Sunday morning to all of us. Any other comments or questions before we close tonight? Anna?
Happy Thanksgiving.
To all the people listening, those who are listening to us, we pray that the Lord will help us to be always and continually thankful for all He's done for us. Continue to pray for my wife and the hospital as well. Let's close. Lord, we thank Thee, Father, for Thy words. Thank Thee for Paul that wrote them. We ask Thee for guidance and direction in our lives, that we may manifest Thy glory by Thy Holy Spirit through Thy Word. Help us not to handle the Scriptures in a deceitful manner.
Yes, yes.
We ask Thee, Lord, that we may be thankful for all Thou hast done for us. Continue to pray for those that have need of our prayers. Help us to come back faithfully on the Lord's Day, either on the internet or in person. Continue to use us to Thy glory, trusting our Savior, living for our Savior, manifesting the fruit of the Spirit. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for coming. We'll see you on the Lord's Day, Lord.